Let's get right to our top story then. An ANC head of elections and former police minister, Fikile Mbalula, has been testifying before the Zondo Commission of Inquiry. Now, Mbalula's name was brought up in evidence presented by former finance minister Trevor Manuel about his contact and also alleged dealings with the Gupta family. Manuel testified that Mbalula told him during an NEC meeting that he learned of his 2010 promotion as sports minister at the Gupta's home in Saxon World. The inquiry heard a section of an interview with ENCA today. That's how they started things out. They set the scene. So I thought, let's play a little bit of a clip of that interview.
It can never be my intention not to cooperate with the commission that our organization have directed us from NASREC that we must establish and cooperate with. So if my name is called and things are raised, not even because it is called, but because I can give a full account of those events. So there is nothing in what Trevor Manuel said about me in relation to that meeting and what I said is untruthful. And I think he has said it the way he did. It is up to me to amplify and to put it into context. And I'm ready to do that. So to hell with state capture. And it must never happen in this generation and many generations to come. And to hell with state capture, it must be fought in all avenues, paths, and even in its manifestation. The African National Congress, the vehicle for fundamental change in this country, 25 years of service and still surging on, is leading a fight, and a difficult one, against corruption, against perceived state capture, to bury it for once. This is our democracy. It was fought for. There is nothing that will be fashed and be put under the carpet.
Those are strong words. To hell with state capture. Well, Eyewitness News reporter Teto Makhlakwana has been watching the proceedings and joins us in our Johannesburg studio. Good afternoon, Teto. Now, take us through what has been said. I mean, as you heard there, Fikile Mbalula seems to be quite resolute, doesn't he?
Absolutely. There's a number of things that stand out, and it's because of the manner in which the ANC handled, of course, the rumors at the time. We've pretty much come to the point where we are. Even before we had the Gupta email leaks, there were conversations in ANC circles, as Fikile Mbalula is telling the commission, about the influence that this family seems to have and about the kind of machinations that were being used to sort of interfere with governance. Now, first thing, 80 members of the ANC NEC did absolutely nothing after Fikile Mbalula went there, and emotionally so, pleaded with them about there being a need for something to be done about the Gupta problem. He went into that NEC meeting in August 2011 and said to them, I have been approached prior to my own knowledge that I would be appointed sports minister by this family, and I was congratulated by Ajay Gupta. And he says there was only one NEC member who stood up to rubbish the claims. No one seconded him. And he specifically states that even former finance minister Trevor Manuel, who was in that meeting, did not stand up to second him. No one seconded him. The issue was simply done. And the issue comes back again in the NEC a couple of months later, or actually over a year later, when the issue is even bigger in the public discourse, where there's the assumptions that are being made about President Jacob Zuma's linkages to this family, when the former deputy finance minister, Mgibisi Jonas, comes out with this statement where he says, I was approached to take a particular position, you know, and be paid money for it. Why is it that they could not nip it like earlier on, when the issue first came out?
It's interesting, though. I mean, does he specifically mirror, though, what Trevor Manuel said? Does he agree with what Trevor Manuel said?
He, of course, corroborated the statements that were made by former Communications Minister General Sipiwe Nyanda to the commission that he did in the NEC meeting, say it was Ajay Gupta who called him. But he did refute the statement of former Minister Trevor Manuel, saying that it was not Ajay that called him, rather, but it was his other brother. And it's a technicality, really, that the technical error that was made by the minister, I imagine, because these are quite old events. But it was not a big contradictory statement. It was just simply a correction of a name.
When it comes down to the appointments of him to cabinets, what does he say about that? Does he say that the Guptas decided on that, or was it that they were just relaying the information? bit of a technicality, but it's very important.
It is. He's saying that they were relaying the information, hence the phone call says, congratulations on your appointments as Sports and Recreations Minister. When, you know, he related the story, he says, his only information was a conversation he had had with then President Jacob Zuma, saying to the president that I'm having difficulties in the police ministry, because he was a deputy minister there. He of course did not divulge what difficulties these were, but after that the president said to him, stay put, there will be changes made. Now, he was not told that he would be appointed a minister. He just knew that the president said, just stay put, there will be changes. And unfortunately, in the manifestation of the events, he gets this phone call from Ajay Gupta, who says, congratulations, you are now the Sports and Recreations Minister. And he was dumbfounded. He says he could not even articulate himself. He could not even thank him for the call. All he could say was, because he was literally shocked.
His relationship with other ANC members. I'm thinking about then ANC Secretary General Gwenny Mantashe. What is he saying about that? Because, like you said, he was the only one, he says, who stood up and said, I'm not taking the state capture. This would have left a bad taste, I would think, in the mouth of the rest of the ANC leadership.
Well, he says that at that NEC meeting, the Secretary General, then Gwenny Mantashe, did stand up to say something. Unfortunately for us and for him, he could not recall what exactly it was that the SG at the time said. But of course, he is now articulating how, because of the leaked information to the Guptas, there had been this fallout that happened ahead of Mangaung that saw him not return as an NEC member. So we are going to hear more about that, of course, as the commission continues.
Has there been any word yet about him himself being cross-examined? I know every single time a prominent witness comes to the stand, that question is asked, but has that been brought up yet?
Not yet, but what I see happening is that because of the evidence leader's concern about the time that passed between the phone call and him telling the NEC, there's this question around, why did you wait 10 months before you actually went ahead to the NEC? I imagine that there'll be a lot of question marks around that time period because of the events that then happened within that 10 months that would have spurred him on to be able to go and tell the NEC or the president about this incident.